Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today, our scripture is taken from a very familiar text in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way to get into God's presence, the only way to have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, is to exercise faith. The scripture tells us that its grace has been given to us, and we're saved through that grace, but we have to exercise faith, not works. We have to trust God that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that he bore our sins in his own body and took our place, that because of that great salvation work that Jesus did on our behalf because he loved us, is really a gift of God. And all we have to do is receive the gift. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's not a works. There's nothing that you can do to get to heaven. There's no good thing that you can do, because your works will never, ever be equal to the great work that Christ did on your behalf as he bore your sins. So my challenge today is to make sure that your faith is in Christ and in him alone. And I trust that all of us will have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not only today, but throughout our lives. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we're going to have Gerhard Meyer share from his ministry in Germany. He has a multifaceted ministry. Gerhard, why don't you tell us how the Lord worked in your life and how he called you into ministry?
The Lord first touched me when I was about 5 years old, and former missionaries Herman and Lil Brodisch came to my hometown Neukirchen and had their evangelistic crusade. And I was remembering sitting in a tent, and I guess my future mother-in-law, it's little Brodish, told stories about Jesus and salvation. And the song we learned, the windows of heaven are open, the Lord is showing down to my heart. It is joy, joy, joy in the Lord since I gave my heart. He took the filthy rags of sin and gave me a totally new life. This was in German, and the window just above me was a window out of plastic, and the sun was shining directly on my heart and my face, and I felt this is the first time the Lord really touched my life. And ever since, the Lord is actually touching and leading me till I was 14 years old and I received the Lord personally. I knelt down and later I was baptized. But the thing is, my parents actually followed my path. My father was converted that week. Hermann Brodish was preaching the gospel. My mother came forward, and even my grandmother, when she died, I found a decision card in her Bible, and I couldn't believe that all three in the year 1955 after war became Christians. This turned around my family life, actually. But you should know how my dad actually was touched years before when he was in the war. He went through the cornfields in front of Moscow, and there was a soldier, a Russian soldier. He was supposed to be shot by the Germans because there were so many Russian soldiers in the cornfields. And my dad said, "Don't shoot him. I take him into prison of war." And that's what he did. And the year 1945, when actually he tried to escape from the Russian zone in Berlin into the U.S. zone, because he knew the U.S. people were different than the Russians did in the prison of war camp, there was a Russian soldier knocking my dad down behind a bush when he tried to flee into the U.S. zone, putting the pistol to his head and almost shot him. But at that moment, a Russian officer came and knocked the pistol down and took my father into prison of war camp to the Russians. He almost thought he was dead, but that moment one Bible verse hit his mind, and the Bible verse was, "What you sow, you will reap." And this was his actually verse when he went to a Christian class in church those days. And what he said, "When I ever come home from prison of war camp, I want to read the Bible." And he was about 4 years near the Chinese border in Novosibirsk in a prison of war camp. And each year in October, he was not called to be going home to Germany. Actually, in 1948, he thought, "I might be dead the next year," because he was skinny, up to 50 kilos, 110 pounds. The night in October, they called the Meyer at 11 o'clock. And he said, "Why don't you respond to our call?" And actually, it took 6 weeks till he returned to Germany by train. But you know, that same night in Neukirchen, an old preacher and old lady were praying on their knees that my father will be released at the prison of war camp 1948 in Novosibirsk. And the Lord answered prayer, and actually 6 weeks later, he returned home. And it took a few years. He started to read the Bible. But in 1955, he went forward at that camp, at that meeting in the tent, and turned his life over to God. This is how our family turned their life over to God.
Well, thank you, Gerhard. That's a very, very interesting story, a story from the past. We'll continue our interview with Gerhard next week. Thank you so much for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We're so thankful for the many letters that people write in and say how this is really affecting their lives. Many people are hearing the gospel for the first time, and others are growing in their faith, and we're so thankful that we have such a significant ministry across Canada, across northern U.S., and around the world. We just had a whole bunch of people in Nigeria come to Christ because of Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our faithful listeners and those who pray for us and give generously. We're so thankful for that. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet. It's on the book of James, that it is a question that many people still ask. How do I know that I'm a growing Christian? And if you read through the book of James, you'll find out that we are to submit to God. We're supposed to control our tongue. that all our wisdom comes from above. We find out that there is patience and perseverance in this life that we need to learn, and we need to practice, and we need to trust God as we walk through these various trials and tribulations. We also learn about the importance of prayer in our lives and confession of sin. And so the book of James is a very important book to study, and it's a book that I've really found to be quite helpful in my own spiritual life, and I highly recommend it to you. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Please write and get your copy of the Book of James. Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco, is entitled, Man's Journey to Belief in Christ, out of John chapter 4. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I would like to share with you a Bible story of a man who took a very important journey, a journey to belief. I like true stories, so I don't spend much time reading novels. There are just too many stories in real life about courage in the face of hardship, of great endurance and a final triumph. The Bible abounds with them, and I find them much better than any fiction. Today's story is no exception. It's about a man's journey to belief in Christ, and it's found in John's Gospel, chapter 4. Let me read it. Now after 2 days, Jesus departed thence and went into Galilee. When he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way, And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. What a great story this is. We are privileged to look in and see how a man came to a belief in God that changed his whole life. This is really what the story is all about. So let us look at it. First, let us look at the nobleman's position. Scriptures do not name him, but calls him a nobleman. The Greek word used indicates a lower member of royalty. So he was probably a ruler or an officer, somehow connected to King Herod and the royal court. He had a high position, a respected position. Then he had a position of wealth, for verse 51 speaks of his servants. And to possess several servants surely suggests a position of wealth. He has a family, a young son who became ill. So he has a wife and perhaps other children. Although we do not know his name, we do know that he was living the good life. He had position, wealth, a family, and things seemed so very rosy. Then one day, his little son became ill with a fever. And we see the nobleman faced a crisis. His little son became progressively worse, and his noble position was no longer of any help. All his wealth could not stop the progress of the fever. The boy was at the point of death, the scriptures say, and the nobleman had run out of options. He was at the end of his rope, we would say. Undoubtedly, he had tried every avenue of help available to him, but all to no avail. In the face of death, the nobleman was confused and totally helpless. What a picture this is of so many in our day. There are many who have good jobs, the money is adequate for a good living, they have found a life partner and may have a family. Life is so good to so many. But in all of this, there is no thought of God, there is no thought of eternity, and worse, there is no preparation to face either. Suddenly, a life crisis comes, perhaps the tragic loss of a loved one, or of a job, or of an unexpected sickness, and all that people have seems to be totally inadequate in the face of tragedy. But as we read the Bible, we find there is hope. For verse 47 says that the nobleman heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. It's wonderful to see how God ordains circumstances that lead us toward himself. At the darkest moment in the life of this nobleman, he hears about Jesus. This was probably not the first time he had heard about Jesus, for he lived at a time when the expectations of the promised Messiah were reaching a feverish high. John the Baptist had just previously ignited the fire again with this hope by his preaching. Matthew 3 says, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, The kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Verse 5, Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So we see that John's ministry greatly impacted the people of his day. Even Herod had been impressed, for Mark 6 and 20 says, For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him, and heard him gladly. So John's message of repentance and of a coming kingdom, which would mean a coming king, was known even in the highest circles. Later, when John was killed and Jesus began preaching, the crowds were moved in a greater way, for Jesus performed great miracles by the power of God. The context of our story of the nobleman suggests that the whole area had known first of Jesus cleansing the temple at Jerusalem, of the money changers and the hypocrites, and those who sold animals for profit. Now, such news as that would have traveled far and wide and quickly. Also, Jesus did many miracles at the same time, chapter 2 and verse 23 says. Then, of course, sometime before, Jesus had changed the water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. What a miracle that was. And the reason, it says, was to manifest or to make known his glory, John 2:11. So the nobleman would certainly have been aware of the great events that he had heard about Jesus, who claimed to come from God and demonstrated this proof, or demonstrated it by proof, of healing the sick, the lame, and giving sight to the blind. And now this one, who claimed to be the Son of God, had come again, a second time, to Cana. The nobleman had not felt any need to seek out Jesus before. He had been content with his life, but now he was desperate. His whole life had been turned upside down. His precious son was dying, and he hears that Jesus, the miracle worker, had come to Cana. That was just a little over 20 miles from Capernaum. Can't you imagine the wheels of thought that were turning in his mind? Jesus is come to Cana. Would he come to Capernaum? Would he do a miracle for my little son? The questions flew thick and fast. What would people think of him in the royal family going to Christ? For many scoffed and rejected this Christ and his message. Then in verse 47, we see the nobleman's resolve. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. What precious words! Out of fatherly concern for his little son, he cared not what others would say or think. You can see him jump into his 2-horsepower or perhaps a 4-horsepower chariot. That's all he would have, and would speed his way to see Jesus. God had ordained the circumstances of this great encounter. I'm sure I speak to some today who, like the nobleman, may have heard about Jesus, perhaps from your father or mother or grandparent or friend. But you were too busy living your own life and going your own way, and you have ignored the one who came from heaven to die on a cross for your sins, and who awaits you to come to him and receive forgiveness. Will you resolve to make your way to Christ, who is near enough to hear you call? For Romans 10 and 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God has worked out the circumstances of your life so that you would hear this broadcast along with perhaps other things. Now you need to choose. Will you resolve, like the nobleman, to come to Jesus and receive him as your Savior? I trust you will. Then let us note, too, that the nobleman's resolve carried him through some disappointments. When he did meet Jesus, and instead of immediately going with him, Jesus tests him with the words, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Verse 48. This was not so much a rebuff, as some people suggest, but rather a test. Jesus is saying, "Are you serious or just curious?" Jesus will have no response for those who are simply curious, who just want to see something new. The nobleman was serious. "Sir, come down ere my child die." Then he faces perhaps the most difficult thing in his life. Jesus said, "Go." The nobleman had preconceived ideas of how his son would be healed. Jesus would perhaps come with him. They would quickly make their way to his house in Capernaum. Jesus would go with him in a stately manner into the home and perhaps lay his hands upon the boy and heal him. You see, he had his own ideas of what would happen, and most of us have our own ideas of how we will get to heaven. We are not that bad, or we're as good as some people around us, or we know some Christians or religious people who claim to be religious, but they don't do things that we do, and we know we're better than they are, or we do so many wonderful works. Surely that wouldn't make us be okay. Jesus made the nobleman face the truth. He was about to learn that Jesus does not meet us on our terms. He is God, the Son. we will receive forgiveness and blessing only on his terms. Go. Go on your way. Go alone. I'm not coming with you. These words were perhaps a shock to the nobleman, but there were also words of promise. Thy son liveth. Would he believe? Would he have faith? For faith in God's word is an eternal requisite. The just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. Then we have perhaps some of the most important words in all of the Bible. Verse 50 says, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. He didn't know very much about Jesus, and he surely must have pondered in his mind, is it going to work? Am I a fool to leave and go on my way thinking my son is healed? But he decided to believe the word spoken and to trust in faith. Friends, the Bible is really the word spoken by Christ, for the Holy Spirit of God has inspired them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16. Here is God's word for us. Will you read it, believe it, and act upon it? The nobleman did, and he received so much. He was well rewarded. His son was healed, and more important, the nobleman found that Christ was God and believed in him for himself, and then led all his house to faith in Christ. The nobleman received a great reward. He set out to find healing for his son, and he received that, but he found more. His own soul needed it first. He traveled a short 20 miles to meet the Son of God, and as a result, he was prepared now to travel all the way to heaven, and more significantly, to bring his family with him. Can you think of a more exciting story or ending? I pray today that you will take that same journey, a journey to personal faith and belief, as the nobleman did in the Lord Jesus Christ.
I trust the message just heard will be a great blessing to you. And here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're very concerned about your spiritual well-being. We want mature Christians to continue to grow and to hear the Word of God and apply it to their lives. But there may be many who are listening to us and have never received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. They don't have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. The Scriptures tell us that all sin to come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners, and because we're all sinners, we need a Savior. There's only one Savior. There's only one God who unconditionally loves you and cares for you and wants you to be a member of His family. But you have to exercise faith. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's a verse that brought me to salvation. That's a verse that totally changed my life because I believed it. And so I encourage you to pray a simple prayer to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. And I believe if you will do that, that you will be transformed as well if you're sincere and if you really want to have a Savior, which means that not only will He save you from your sins, but He's also becomes the Lord of your life. And He's the one that you start praying to. He's the one that you start reading about in the Word of God. And as you grow, you'll see that He is a holy God and requires holiness. And it'll help us to live lives that'll bring honor and glory to His name. Remember to order your copy of the book of James. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And you can hear past broadcasts on our website at www.missiongo.org. That's missiongo.org. And please remember to pray for us and write in and tell us about how the broadcast is meeting needs in your life. And also, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book of James. May the good Lord continue to bless you throughout this next week.